John Fee did ask me to read it in Hebrew, but I'm really sorry I left my Hebrew version at home. Right, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you, Alison. Do that, is that all right? Can I just start off by praying? Thank you. Father, I just want to thank you for this evening. I thank you that we can all be here, and Lord, that you're with us. And I just pray, Lord, as I speak this evening, that Lord, we would really hear what it is that's on your heart, Lord, and that we would take away from tonight what it is you want us to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was quite pleased, really, because the psalm that Alison read just sort of came out of this. Just been thinking about this on and off for a few weeks now. And I didn't really know where I wanted to start from with this. But as I kept on looking through this and looking at the things I was going to look at tonight, Psalm 139 just kept on coming back. And it just occurred to me after a little while, it's like, I think it's Psalm 139. And I was like, fine, we'll go with that. Love the psalm. Quite happy to talk on that. Last time I spoke, I talked about being a spanner. Now, if you didn't hear that talk, or maybe you can't remember it, which is fine, I was after a new definition for a spanner being entered into the dictionary, and it related to the idiom to put a spanner in the works. The idea is that we should be the people that don't fit into other people's ideas about life. They think they've got it, and they understand how life works, and then we come along, being reasonably intelligent human beings, who also believe in a creator God who made us, loves us, and wants to spend time with us. So we put a spanner in their works. So I want to encourage you today to continue being spanners, as well as being salt and light as well, of course. As spanners, we need to know and understand something, though. We are not of this world. We are aliens. And it would be difficult for me not to have a talk and not get science fiction in there somewhere. So there you go. There it is. In John's Gospel, on at least two occasions, Jesus refers to his disciples as not being of this world. In John 15:19, he says, if you belong to this world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. This is why the world hates you. And again in John 17, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. This is why I believe we can make people feel uncomfortable, and why we don't fit in with their pattern of life. It's also something Mike alluded to last week when he was here, that we should have gospel talk even if people don't like it. Now, I want you to take a look at a short video which helps to illustrate a point I want to make. That's okay, Ojan. Okay, thank you for watching. Can I be honest, when I first saw that video, and I'm aware that it is an older phone now, we've got the iPhone 7 now, so I'm fine with that, but when I first watched that video, it was on BBC, it was a programme I think called The Men We Made Rich or something like that, this idea of people who make money off of us, I had to turn the television off. I could not cope with it. But funny enough, going back to it so many months later, or years later, I was like, actually, you know, I can see what's going on here. I really want to talk about security today. And as you can see from the video and several other cases, we live in a very insecure world. There is a lot of pressure to have the latest gadget or to have seen the latest movie or been to the latest best holiday, and it comes in lots of different ways. Now, being a teacher myself, I cope with this quite a lot in school. And I'm thinking of a boy particularly I know called, well, he's not called this, but I'm going to call him Grant just in case, who is seriously insecure. He needs reassurance all the time. He needs to know he's loved. And his insecurity often leads to rejection and a lack of trust. It may be because he's got an older sister that people, you know, sort of, she's one of those girls that she just does everything really well, you know, and he doesn't necessarily do everything really well. And he's a very skilled individual in lots of ways, but he is, you know, and it affects him in lots of different ways, and it just comes out in quite a difficult way. I was talking to Jean Fiola about teenagers needing to fit in. There's a lot of peer pressure. It can be listening to the right music, wearing the right clothes, watching the right YouTubers or YouTube videos. But it leads up to pressures like drinking, smoking, taking drugs, all those sorts of things. We've probably got friends who've got insecurities, and you know, we do hopefully get around to talking to our friends about things, about God, about what our faith is. And people seem very stuck in their ways. Their security maybe comes from their family and from what they've always believed in and grown up with, and they cannot make that step. They don't want to believe that their father or mother could be wrong. They're challenged. They want to believe, but they cannot, you know, take that hold off of them. And recently, I was looking up this new word, FOMO. Fear of missing out. There's a dictionary definition. It's anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may occur, may currently be happening elsewhere, and it's often aroused by posts seen on social media. And again, I think we often feel this is younger people who, you know, have social media all their lives, and it's been there all the time, but there are people, older people as well, who still need to check Facebook every half an hour, every hour. What's the latest thing? What do I need to post on there? What's that person doing? I need to like it, otherwise I'm missing out. We can do it ourselves. We try to fit in with friends, family, church. We put on a good face, maybe, so that people will accept us and like us. And often the truth is that, you know, we look at people and we think they've got it sorted. Often they haven't. They're often full of their own insecurities. For so many people, and for us at times, we will try and fit in with a world and fit in with what is socially acceptable, like the video. There's one of the chaps there saying, you don't want to be left behind or left out. Because if you don't get that phone, you know, everyone else is going to have it and you're going to be left out. You're not in the group. You're not in the gang. So what does the world offer? The world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. That's 1 John 2:16. What do you chase after? What do you crave? What is it that helps you feel secure? What would really shake you if it was taken away? Where do we get our security from? Let's be honest. Often we have security in other things. Now, it's not wrong to enjoy what we have here on earth. God's allowed us to have these things. And it's not a problem to find pleasure in the gifts that God has given us. But we need to make sure we're not placing security in the things of this world. We all have somewhere to live. We've all got somewhere to go back to after the service. And that's okay. But how much security do we put in our homes, in our things, in our bank account, or our money? And that's something I know that Mark mentioned last week. What about people? Do we feel secure with our family, our parents, our spouse, our friends? In the end, they are people, and like us, they will let us down. It's only natural. Now, we all know where we should put our security. We need to put our security in God, and that's not always easy. But I wanted to look at a few things this evening, a few words, which you've probably heard before. And they are quite big words, and it is quite late, I'm aware, but they're really good words to remember. So the first is about God being omnipresent, basically meaning he's everywhere. We can't get away from him. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. That's a good thing. He is always there. He's always with us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we are never alone. Now, sometimes if we know what we're like, that might be a bit scary, because it's like, okay, but I know what I'm like, God. I'm not right. I'm not perfect. But he's there with us, and he still accepts us. And that's great. Galatians 4:6. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So we've got God the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the Helper, the Comforter, working with us each and every day. He enables us to pray. He strengthens us. He convicts us so that we can be more effective for God. We can have security knowing that we are not on our own. But it's even better than that. Not only is God always with us by his Spirit, but we can call God our Father, Abba Father. We have a personal, intimate relationship with God. Not only that, but we are no longer slaves. We are no longer enslaved to sin, to the enemy. We are now children of God. You are his child. You are a child of God. I am a child of God. Not only that, but we're an heir of God, and a co-heir with Christ. In Romans 8:17, it says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. 1 Peter 1:3-4, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We don't have time this evening to go into this, but we will share in Christ's inheritance that is being kept for us in heaven, where it cannot perish, spoil, or fade. That's security. The world doesn't have that. That is why they put security in worldly things, because they have no eternal hope. It's all about now and what they can get from the world now. In our world, nothing lasts. Now, my daughter's at that age now where what's now is important. And I remember talking to her about a piece of music, a song that she dared to share with me. And, oh, can we, you know, put that song on again? Dad, that's so old. It's like 2 weeks old, you know. It was like, it's out of date within a couple of weeks. You know, the latest phones, the latest devices, they're out of date within 6 months, maybe even 3 months. Why do we feel the need to update things so rapidly? And very much like the video there, a lot of these companies, I think they honestly feed on people's insecurities. They make them feel that it's not okay unless you've got the latest one. And they know people will buy them. They need to keep up and not feel left out. And that's what the enemy tells them. Now, relationships don't often last. For whatever reason, when husbands and wives separate, it has an effect. I've worked with kids whose whole lives have been turned upside down because of marriage breakups. And often the children that are having issues, particularly as they're getting into year 5 and 6, they're the children who you know there's been a split of some kind. The one thing they've had insecurity in has broken apart, and it leaves a broken kid. For us, though, God lasts. He is eternal. He was there before the world was made. Whether that was thousands of years ago or millions of years ago, he was there before it, and he'll be there at the end. And I remember, again, talking about this literally 2 or 3 weeks ago with some children, and of course they come up with that smart answer, well, who made God? Who put God there? That's the point. And I said it to him. I said, he was there and has always been there. He's eternal. Either we believe God was there before, or it was all some cosmic accident and stuff just happened. God is omnipresent. We can have security in that. Have you ever had one of those times when life has just been awful? You've not been able to eat, sleep, relax. And often it feels like it'll never go away. And I remember going through this many years ago, before the children were born. And I didn't know what to do with myself, and I couldn't get out of it. Fortunately, it does go away. And often the most comforting thought can be that God knows exactly what's going on. He knows what's going on. He understands. He's omniscient. That's the next omni word. He's all-knowing. Luke 12, 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you are worth more than any sparrows. Now, I know that for some of us, that means that God doesn't have to spend too much time counting as he does for others. But what intimacy, what detail, what concern. If he cares for every single sparrow, how much more does he care for us and know and understand what's going on in our lives? Psalm 139 again. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. But not for God. He knows and he understands. If you're going through one of those times at the moment when it's all too much, there's too much going on, you don't get it, maybe there's something you cannot get out of your head that is just really bringing you down. God knows. He understands. Sometimes we don't understand why we go through difficult times. Most of the time we don't. But we can have security that God knows what he's doing, and he's working for the good of those who love him. I also found this appropriate. I think it's on the next slide. There it is. When you feel like you're drowning in life, don't worry. Your lifeguide, God, walks on water. Just saw that and thought, yeah, that's my God. Finally, we know that God is also omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. If we just consider for a moment what God has achieved, we can see just how powerful he is. If we think about our world, as John Fee was saying earlier on, and life on our planet, the richness, the diversity, even today, the book I'm reading at the moment is actually entitled Aliens, okay? And it's scientists looking at the possibility of aliens on other planets. What I love about this book is that even the most intelligent scientists in the world have not discovered how life first started on our planet. They can tell us all how one thing changed to another. They can say how many billions of years it's been here, but they cannot say how it first started. They don't know. They don't know how it happened. They don't know what combination of chemicals or what reaction or biological process occurred that allowed life to come into being. It is beyond their understanding. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain, but not for God. This is one of the mysteries of God that we cannot fathom. We cannot probe the limits of the Almighty. He is limitless, like the depths of the ocean. And like our universe, it's limitless. There are certainly galaxies, solar systems, planets that we'll never be able to explore because we are limited. But God is limitless. Yes, there are several unanswered questions. All the stuff we don't understand. Why aren't people healed? Why do we suffer? Why are so many people without basic food and water? A lot of this is down to human error, but there are questions we may never find the answers to until we are with the Lord forever. Psalm 139 again. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. These verses again show us just how powerful God is. One of the things that first made me come to faith was the nature of new life. And I remember talking to people at university about it, about whether God was real or whether, you know, it was the answer. And I just remember saying, but I can't explain new life, birth. I can't explain it. I can't get it. I can't grapple with it. It's too big, too much of a miracle to understand, to say it's just chance. How can something so complex and fantastic and wonderful and unique happen by chance? It's an insult to suggest that we are not a miracle of God. If we grow up just believing we just happened, that we are just a cosmic accident, then of course we're going to feel insecure. If we've been brought up by imperfect parents who get it wrong every day, of course we're going to have insecurities. We have a need to be loved. And people are made in the image of God. They have an eternal aspect. In that case, they need to know that divine, supernatural love that only God can offer them. They're missing it in their lives, and they know there's something missing. There's a God-shaped hole, and they keep on searching. We have a need to be loved, to be wanted, and to know that we were meant to be here. And only God can provide us with that unconditional love perfectly all the time. Let's look also at what God has put into place for us. His plan from the beginning. His plan of salvation. We are justified by grace and by faith alone. We're sanctified. We're adopted. We're chosen. We are in Christ. We are grafted into the vine. We're entrusted with the gospel. We are given power and authority over the enemy. We are made holy. We are made righteous, and we are reconciled to God. He has forgiven us. We are no longer guilty. We are guilt-free. We are only ever convicted, never condemned. His is an everlasting love, a love that never ends. What lengths he went to know us and to have a relationship with us. Just look at his love for the convict on the cross. We have security in God. He made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Made fearfully by an awesome God. And he made us wonderfully. Insecurity is a lie of the devil when he tells us we're not worth it. It isn't from God. However low we've stooped, whatever we've done, we are not outside God's love and grace. Sorry doesn't have to be the hardest word. We make it hard when we listen to those lies. Listen to the truth. You're accepted, forgiven, and loved by an almighty God. You are his child, and he is devoted to you. Now we need to get out there and help people with their own insecurities. If they knew just how much God loved them and how he saw them every day, they wouldn't need to queue for that phone to feel accepted. They wouldn't really care or mind what the world thought of them. Let's hope God's opinion of us all will matter more to us than what people think of us. Because at best, people's love and acceptance doesn't even come close to how God views us. So to conclude, whenever we look to the world for our security, I hope that instead we will look to God and to his promises. And I pray that the people we know and love who are not yet Christians will start acknowledging their insecurities, may look to us for possible answers and recognize their need of God. Can I just pray to finish? Father, I just thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, a love that we will never understand, will never grasp, will never get it, Lord. It's beyond our understanding, but I thank you that you do it anyway, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to express that to the world, that you would help us, Lord. Give us the words. Give us the means, Lord. You can give us what we need to do these things, Lord. You give us, you enable us, Lord. And I pray that you enable us to do that today, tomorrow, this week, this month, to just express what it means to know the love of God and to recognize, Lord, that they need that too. I pray, Lord, that you would equip us, Lord, as we go out into the world and share this amazing love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.